This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, where Corey, you're back. And I'm a little concerned because it says that my login to the computer is no longer valid.
I'm replacing Kevin.
So, Alec, what I'm going to do is, I'm not smart at following directions. If you could text me some assistance, I'm not allowed to log on to this computer. But you've got me, Kevin Hagland. You have the return of Corey Majors. Breaking we have news. The famous Alec Medford. And joining us today, I will let him decide if he wants to reveal his last name or not. It is Jim. Welcome to the program. Do we have a mic up for him? We do not. All right, we'll get to Jim in just a second. So the IT department is really effing us all over to start this show. And I also blame Sean and RJ for half-assing this system and not having things ready to go for us, because that's what we do for the G-Bag Nation. So you've got me, Corey, Jim, Alec, and it is the first day of March Madness. Alec, what is your excitement level? Because I think these are the two best days in sports.
I tend to agree with you. I was watching some of the early action last night with some buddies at a local taco spot, and everybody was already so thrilled and so hyped to watch a bunch of schools that they didn't even know existed.
Sure.
So, you know, when people are that excited for stuff like that, then I think I'm excited for the games that people actually care about and people actually know what the hell is going on and who is playing. So, yeah, I'm excited for the action to get started for the teams that I've actually watched because of your recommendations the past couple of weeks.
One of my cousins in Chicago, she sent me a screenshot. She was listening to the podcast and she said, last year you told me this team I'd never even heard of in my life would win in the first round. And they did. So I'm taking your advice. And I was like, oh, that's nice.
How'd they do for the rest of the rounds though?
I think I had them out after the second round.
Oh no. So was that good or bad?
Yes, that was good. And they were out. So
just got a message from Mooney DeMare on Twitter, and he said, I can't wait to see Corey's perfect NCAA bracket again this year.
Oh, man, I forgot about
that. I can't
that.
Guarantee that this year's is going to be perfect because I did something different this year. Last year, very specific, used my formula to knock it all out. Wouldn't let Kevin see the bracket until the very end. This year,
Which you understand led me to some questions.
Yeah, I didn't understand the questions. But I mean, like, it's just me, Kevin. Come on. But the thing is, this year I kind of did some autofill. I want to try something new, see how it works. I might do multiple brackets and just autofill all of them with different versions and see how that goes. It could be fun. So I just want to try it out, something new. It's every year doesn't have to be the same thing. If you lose your bracket every year, okay, if every single year you're losing and you don't understand why, it's you. Let somebody else do it. Let somebody else, let a computer fix it
okay.
for you.
All right.
I'm used to winning these brackets though. Perfect last year.
And now that I learned that Bobby said ESPN will let you fill out 25 brackets.
That's awesome.
That is kind of awesome. So it gives you a lot of freedom if you want to play around and do the things and everything like that.
Now, or you can print out 25 of them or 100 and just fill all those out.
Okay. So I'm not going to say what you're telling me. That's what you guys do. So my understanding is that if you're willing to put in the work, you can impress people by filling out all these brackets by hand,
mm-hmm.
and then just taking the best of them,
yep.
throwing the rest away and maybe before the Sweet 16, yeah. Whatever you think. You present them to people and you're like, this is my bracket.
See, this is the one right here. I've had this one the whole time. And here's what you do. You do the smart thing. You take a picture holding it and the newspaper from that day.
So people
know, or just get the newspaper from that day and just like hold on to it for a while. You know what I'm saying, Kevin? Yeah. Cheat the system.
What?
I don't know, man.
Man, that was a lot of information to start out. Now, what I want to know from the people today to start this off, what is your biggest upset pick? 877-881-1053. Frankel and Frankel injury attorney text line. What is your biggest upset selection? Let's just say for the first round. It doesn't necessarily have to be today, but today or tomorrow, what is your biggest upset pick? Then, to go along with it, I've got some locals to watch in the NCAA tournament. And who do you think has the easiest path to potentially the Final Four?
Like local players? Like local
Correct.
People? Okay, interesting.
Correct.
I'm excited about that.
Where would you like to start?
Start with the up. Actually, let's start with the local kids.
Okay.
I want to know who all the local products are. Jim, how do you feel about that one?
Sounds great.
There you go. Jim's on, baby.
Man, you know what I would have really liked? If Jim like took a stand straight away and he's like, no, Corey, I don't like that. Let's go to upsets. And I'd be like, oh my God, we just set the tone for the day.
Then he drops an F-bomb and we're like, okay, Jim.
Okay. Well, Jim knows, you remember in the contest rules or in the auction rules, I said that you're beholden to FCC regulations.
That is right.
Violation of that would forfeit your spot.
Okay.
So,
all right.
I mean, maybe I'll give you another shot. I said the F word once.
From the 817, Alex, biggest upset is Corey showing up to work today. You know what, Alec? I gave a lot of thought and reflection to how it was last week, and it might not change. But
wow.
You know I still care about you, I hope.
Holy do you really?
Because you thought when he said reflection.
Yeah.
That it was going to be.
I got to be me. You know, like that's the thing. I can't not be me. And that's what I have to do. So
okay.
I appreciate that Alec is here rocking along, baby.
I'm sad.
Keep it up.
All right.
So who are the local kids, Kevin, that I need to keep an eye on?
Locals to watch in the NCAA tournament. I'm going to sneeze real quick.
Bless you. He still has never done the God bless you while he sneezes. He even knew that
psyched
was coming.
Me out. Right. That's true. KJ Lewis, sophomore for Arizona, went to high school in El Paso for a while, but then went to Duncanville, played senior at Duncanville, averaged 16 points, 9 rebounds per game while helping the team go 29-1 and get the number 2 ranking in all of the country. Liam McNeely from Connecticut. Now,
I already like KJ Lewis's name better than Liam.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Let's put that to the test because he has a Plano tie.
Oh, okay. All right.
But he did go to a lot of different high schools. So Liam McNeely went to Richardson Pierce, JJ Pierce, then John Paul II, then finished up high school in Florida. So a lot of bouncing around there. Jacoby Coles, who plays for Grand Canyon. I know you guys already knew that. He went to Denton Guyer. This is the one to watch because I don't know how I lost sight of this. Jacoby Coles.
Gotcha.
And it's with a K.
Gotcha.
Capital K, by the way. Fun. Here's the one I want you to be aware of. Zuby Ejiofor.
And spell it.
Z-U-B-Y.
Z-U-B-Y.
E-J-I-O-F-O-R.
Say it again.
Zuby Ejiofor.
One more time.
Oh, I can say it a million times.
Yeah, so far, you've said it twice the same way, so
Zuby
I'm pretty impressed. Zuby Ejiofor. All right.
You know why I'm going to stick with that pronunciation? He was on the same basketball team at Garland High School as Brandon.
Nice!
Now, did Brandon tell me that Zuby destroyed him offensively? Or, excuse me, when he tried to go on offense? Yes. But Brandon said when he was on defense, there was a time or two out of the many practices that they did where he was able to stop him. He started at Kansas because he's awesome, but now is at St. John's. And he is a player for St. John's. He's not just on the team. Like he is, I think you make a strong argument, their second best player. Maybe other people feel differently about it. You know, I'm going to throw this one out there. Trey Johnson for the University of Texas, possible top five pick in the upcoming draft. Somebody maybe the Mavericks would look at. He went to Lake Highlands and then also Link Academy. So
if he gets turned out to be good, the Mavericks would just be like, trade him. Don't care anymore.
Yeah, they don't care. They're trading to get Kevin Durant. You know it. I know it. I don't have to like it. You don't have to like it. But here we are. Wade Taylor, the fourth of Texas A&M. Now, he's a graduate student. And I'm not going to lie. It feels like he has been going to Texas A&M for 8 years.
Mm.
It really, really does.
Since AC Law was there, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Actually, kind of. He plays for Texas A&M.
Quick question.
He's from Lancaster.
Quick question, Jim. Wade Taylor, the fourth. Is it four where you stop, do you go on to the fifth, sixth, and seventh? I feel like third is usually the most, but the fourth, is that where you stop at?
I think four is where you stop.
Four is where you stop, Kevin.
So,
is that just for names, or do we feel the same way about movies and the like? Do you think four is a good place to stop?
I think Fast and Furious has really given us understanding of just keep that thing going. Just keep the franchise making more.
As long as it makes money, who the hell cares?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just for names.
From the 945. I believe this person is being sarcastic. A high school player transferred to Duncanville. I am shocked. I don't think they are shocked.
I feel like Tony Romo today, by the way. Every time I talk to Jim, I say Jim. And so I think I'm just going to rock with that today. Oh, this is going to be fun, Jim.
Zurich Phelps is also on Texas A&M. He is from Duncanville. JT Toppin for Texas Tech. He went to Oak Cliff Faith Family.
Connected to Obi Toppin at all?
You know what? I feel like I should know that, especially since he's probably their best player.
I'll look it
almost definitely. He's their best player. Somebody's going to, I know, text in and be like, actually, I disagree, but I'm going to go ahead and
he's the younger brother.
He is? Okay.
Yeah, this is his younger brother.
Okay.
There we go.
I feel dumb that I didn't know that. Miles Rigsby, he plays for Troy. He went to Irving MacArthur and O.D. Wyatt in Fort Worth. And then finishing it up, Tyler McGee for UC San Diego went to Denton Guyer. So there's just a look at some of your local kids from the 817 biggest first round upset. Colorado State defeats Memphis.
Dude.
I will tell you this. We went over this earlier this week. I believe in 12 of the last 13 years, a top four seed has lost in the first round. So, if you're feeling spicy, one of those top four seeds in one of these brackets historically says they're going to lose in the first round.
Memphis is a five seed.
That's right.
But 12-5, isn't that the one that everybody gets all hyped about?
Yes. And 12-5 is good to get hyped about. But dare I say, if you've got a good feel for one of these 13 through 16s, or probably
Maryland or Purdue.
Yeah, if you think one of them is primed for an upset, history says you will get one of those upsets.
Got to be Arizona
in the first round.
Arizona always lets me down in the tournament every year.
Okay, this is what I'm nervous about. I picked Michigan State to go to the Final Four. The last time I picked Michigan State to go this far is when I picked them to win the championship, and they lost in the first round. So I know everyone's like, Tom Izzo always gets it done. And I hear you on that, except for when I pick them.
My suggestion on Tom Izzo, just take him to the Sweet 16 and then it's coin flip after that. That's always been my thing. He gets you to there. Okay. And then after that. But yeah, I do remember that year because I was very high on him, too.
This is a fair point. Shouldn't you have gone over this list yesterday since Texas lost in the play-in game?
Nobody cares about the play-in game.
That is fair. I really thought Texas was going to win that game, and then they choked it away in the second half.
Why? Because that's what they do. Historically, UT has been bad in the tournament in general.
That's fair. From the 4-6-9, I have Florida and Iowa State losing in the first round? Man, because if that's true,
my bracket's screwed.
Me too. From the 254, A&M is going down. They're going to play Yale. That will surely be one of the most physical matchups of the first round. I'm excited to see how that game plays out. A&M's a 7.5-point favorite. Might be a little tiny bit high.
Our own DJ the DJ texted Kevin and said Tech coach Grant McCaslin graduated from Irving High School. And DJ used to tape his ankles when he was a trainer, and he was a varsity basketball player.
Really?
So there you go. Maybe we need to talk to DJ about our good friend Grant.
Okay, maybe we do. From the 817, I've got Duke losing in the first round despite Kevin. Let me tell you something, man. They lose on Friday.
That'll just show how bad Sunday, the ACC is.
That's true. I've talked crap about the ACC all year, but I can't tell. This is the proving ground because the number one overall seed is Auburn. Auburn lost to Duke before Auburn like got into its funk at the end of the year. The first team to beat Auburn was Duke. But this tournament will decide a lot. Either you'll be like, yeah, they were pretty good, but the ACC was terrible. Or maybe they run through it and you're like, holy crap, this Duke team was always good.
Yeah, we just didn't know.
But I'm really worried that the ACC is just terrible. But if they lose in the first round, I'm going to be crushed.
How are we feeling about Cooper Flagg's ankle?
Cooper Flagg should be good to go for tomorrow. Personally, I would wait until the second round to play him. But John Shire's got no time for such nonsense. And he said he's on track. Whether or not that means he'll play tomorrow, whether or not they hope they get out to like a 20-point lead in the first 12 minutes, and they're like, hey, sit your ass on the bench. Can't say.
That coach right there, not the worst, Shire.
From the 940, they clarified. They have Florida and A&M losing in the first round. Alec? More specifically, the loss of Florida. Okay.
I'm in trouble.
Corey's in trouble. A lot of people are in trouble. What would happen to your bracket if Florida lost in the first round?
Yeah, I think I'd be cooked. I think I would absolutely be cooked. I tried to pick some fun upsets, but that was unfortunately not one of them. So I'm not rooting for that, me personally, because I do want to try to win this 41-31 tournament because I suck at these. So
that's the spirit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to be real. I'm trying to be honest. I've never had a relatively good bracket, so this is the year that I turn things around.
Are you Geno Smith?
Yeah, this is the year. I'm on my Geno Smith redemption arc right now.
I like it.
That's how I'm feeling today.
All right, Jim, do you have a Final Four that you would like to share for us, or would you like to wait until a later date and pretend that you picked all these games right, like somebody I know did once?
I picked Michigan State, so... To win it all.
Oh, okay.
Kevin, I've just been informed that Jake Toppin, nicknamed JT Toppin, plays for the Knicks. That is Obi Toppin's brother, not JT Toppin. Two different people. So my apologies for that. They are not. That is not his older brother.
So JT Toppin is not the JT Toppin we're talking about.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, two different Toppins.
All right. I seriously was like, how have I never heard that?
I didn't know there was such a common name. So there we go. Toppin.
All right. There you go. I feel like already.
Because there's, you get the.
What are you doing?
Right.
Man, we need to send you back on the college tour. We got Jim here. We'll be fine. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, the Mavs do the right thing. And if you don't want to talk about that, are you invested in one of the best NBA MVP races ever? Next on The Fan.
Christie, double team. Take it away, Siakam! Pacers have it, a chance to tie.
Yeah, Nembhard!
Hits the three! Nembhard gives Indiana the lead!
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through The Fan, where the Mavericks did the right thing yesterday, Alec. They did what needed to be done.
They gave up 34 points in half of a fourth quarter.
That's yes. Right. Yes, they did. I'm gonna give you an even more damning statistic in just a second. That is the lovely voice of Corey Majors, who is rocking with us today. He's back.
Just today.
No, he's back.
Yes.
I should have said Jim is rocking with us today. He won. Do the show with KNC for a day. Corey, we'll probably be back tomorrow unless he's like, I'm tired of you guys.
Yeah, we'll see how Jim does.
Okay,
if he can help me with my
this
salary.
This could be fan phenom on the fly, and we just make some important decisions. All right, Jim, how upset were you about the Luka trade? And then we'll get back to how the Mavericks collapsed last night and how that was best for business.
Very depressed.
Are you still depressed about
it? Still depressed.
But trying to move on. So.
I don't know if I ever will be able to.
He said trying to move on, so that means I probably shouldn't have asked him that.
Yeah, that probably didn't help, Kevin.
Okay.
It's like, hey, you want to take a shot? You know you're an alcoholic and you're recovering and everything.
Oh, my gosh.
Here's a bottle. Go sit in a room by yourself for a while.
Okay.
That's how it feels for Jim, I think, right now.
Well, I guess I'll stay with the Mavericks and switch to something else. All right. These are all true facts from yesterday's game. The Dallas Mavericks led the Indiana Pacers by 7 points with 1 minute to go. True fact.
With 1 minute to go?
With 1 minute to go. Because, Corey, do you know what the final score was in that last 59 seconds, specifically 59.2? Dallas Mavericks 3, the Indiana Pacers 14. Outscored the Dallas Mavericks 14-3 in the final 59 seconds. Part of the reason? You had 2 turnovers. I thought it was 3, but it might have only been 2 turnovers for the Mavericks, as well as not 1, not 2, but 3 missed free throws. So it was a team effort. I feel like everyone contributed to get the Mavericks the loss, which is what we want and what we need.
Who do you think contributed to that loss the most?
Jaden Hardy.
I was going to say Nico.
Wasn't helping. Sorry, who?
Nico.
I mean, that was probably a better answer. Yeah. Jaden Hardy had a turnover that was kind of like, come on, bro. What are we doing here? But the important news, with 12 games left to go, the Dallas Mavericks are now tied with the Phoenix Suns, and via tiebreaker are on the outside looking in for the playoffs, which is what we had hoped would happen. They've lost 4 in a row. Before that, they won 1 whole game and lost 5 in a row. They are 1-9 in their last 10 games. They are spiraling. They have a chance to catch Portland. They could still theoretically catch San Antonio and perhaps have the eighth worst record in the NBA.
Which would put them in the lottery?
Oh, I mean,
like,
you'll be in the lottery. Hey, look, you got a 5% chance. And I've said all along, if the Mavericks win the draft lottery, I will believe that Mike was right and the NBA strong-armed the Dallas Mavericks mm-hmm. into making the trade for Luka. So they did what needed to be done. Don't worry about what Quentin Grimes is doing over there.
Hey,
okay?
Quentin Grimes the other night, didn't they still lose the game and
they
he did it in overtime scoring 40-something
they
points?
They lost to Houston in overtime after he scored 46 points. It is true that was right after he scored 28 points to help the terrible 76ers defeat the Mavericks. Meanwhile, Caleb Martin has been delayed an extra month with the right hip strain. And that's the person that we traded.
That was the weird. That's all that. Everything that happened there. The weirdest crap ever.
That feels like the insult to the injury. Like, hey, I know what everyone's really mad about is that Luka trade and the injuries and everything. Let's just twist the knife a little bit more and point out that Quentin Grimes has taken off on a terrible team. The team he's on is terrible, which is allowing him in part to thrive. But that hasn't looked like a good move. So instead, how about we talk about good basketball?
Let's talk good
players.
Basketball, Kevin.
All right. Give me cut number 3 because we have a historic race for MVP going on.
Jokic has it. Guarded by Carrington now. Jokic around everybody and he lays it in.
So my question for y'all is, are you invested in one of the best NBA MVP races we've seen in probably a generation? Or are you just out on all things basketball? Because Jim told us he's trying to move on.
Yeah.
Trying to be positive.
Last night when I looked at Twitter and saw that Luka had scored 21 points in the first quarter, I was like, yeah, that was our guy. I think he only scored like 10 more for the rest of the game or something, though. And so it just kind of made me just whatever account that was on Twitter that I followed, it just immediately killed it. And I was like, I'm not dealing with that anymore. So that's kind of where I am, Kevin. I don't know, man. My heart's just not completely there with basketball, except for college basketball,
yeah,
which you have gotten me all hyped up for.
All right, Jim, you told me you're trying to move forward. Does that moving forward including caring about the rest of the NBA, or are you dead inside like Corey is?
I'm dead inside. I'm moving on to baseball, to the Rangers.
Thank you. Yes, let's go Rangers. Go get Rangers.
I promise we will have plenty of Rangers content on the show today as well.
I did see a note, though, that said that LeBron has made his way into the top 5 for MVP voting and that he deserved it.
I think that's fair.
Okay.
I really do. Like, if you had him at six, depending on what you think about Giannis and Steph, I could listen to that. But I think that's fair. So my assumption would be they have Shea, Jokic, Mitchell.
Okay. Yeah.
And then we'd see how the rest. Okay. Let's see if we can make this a clean 0 for sweep. Alec, do you care about the MVP race or are you also dead inside to basketball at the professional level?
I want to say I'm dead inside, but I'm wearing an NBA t-shirt right now, so it's kind of tough. But it's weird. I'm dead inside with the NBA, but the MVP race, I'm intrigued by. And I feel like you might understand where I'm going with this. I'm hate watching it.
Are you?
I want Jokic to win.
Yeah.
Because I am not an SGA fan
whatsoever.
So it's more of a hate watch and hoping that Jokic gets another one because I think he deserves it more.
So this is, and look, the text is not overwhelmingly in favor of the NBA. From the 972, NBA sucks altogether. From the 817, the Mavericks are terrible as well. Did they think we didn't know that part?
From the 214, what about the Stars, Jim?
Ooh,
what about the Stars?
Are you a Stars fan?
I'm a Stars fan.
Yes! Okay.
Have tickets.
There we go. So,
okay.
All right, so Stars and Rangers, baby.
Ooh, I'm going to take that back, 817. I apologize. I get what you're saying. Since the Mavericks are terrible, the Quentin Grimes would have had these opportunities with the terrible Mavs as well. That is a really good point.
Yeah, probably so.
From the 469, it feels like somebody paid Nico and the Adelsons and the Dumonts to run the Mavericks out of town. If Luka was still in Dallas from the 817, Kyrie wouldn't have torn his ACL. From the 903, I'm pretty much out, bro. All right. So it doesn't look good.
I heard Anthony Davis was in the G League, though, and he was playing golf out there in Frisco.
Yes, and some people were concerned about the golf swing and what that does.
Is that good?
Not his golf swing is bad, but like...
You're growing?
What does that do to your abductor?
I have no clue. Where is the abductor?
I think it's in the groin area.
In the ab area? No. Maybe in the ducting of the lower part of the body?
I think about that a lot.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's you got to stretch it out.
The ducts of your body?
Yeah, in the ducts. Interesting. They're all quack. It's just a bunch of quacks anyway.
Okay. Well, we're going to make this quick then because I can't take much more of you two already. But also, it feels like the enthusiasm for this conversation is not there. Here's what I was going to throw out there.
All right.
So Jokic, a couple weeks ago, I know he was out last night, and that's part of the reason the Lakers cruised. He posted the first 30-20-20 game in NBA history.
How much attention has that gotten?
Not a lot, honestly.
Because it's what he does, right?
Yeah, but it's weird because that's never happened in the history of the NBA. Did you know right now Jokic is top three in points, rebounds, and assists?
No.
All of them!
Yeah.
But then
he's good, dude.
Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Tell me if you think this group is any good. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander became the seventh player ever to score 20 plus points in 60 consecutive games.
Wow.
Here are the other ones that have done it. Tell me if you think this bodes well for the rest of his career. Kobe, Kareem, Wilt, Oscar Robertson, Kevin Durant, who might be the worst player on this list, and Michael Jordan.
Yeah, those are all pretty decent players.
pretty decent.
Remember when Luka was in all those conversations, you'd be like, hey, nobody's done this except for these guys. And you're like, look at the category.
We were trying to move on.
My bad. I really did think you were going to throw in like a Danny Ferry into the mix. And I was like, hold on.
And I didn't mean that as a slight against Kevin Durant. I'm saying if Kevin Durant is maybe the worst player on a list, your list is probably unfreaking believable. So Shea is incredible. Shea is being rooted for to win MVP in 26 of the states. Jokic is being rooted to win the MVP in 24 of the states, including Texas, probably because of that anti-OKC bias.
Mm-hmm. I do think that it would be advantageous for Shea to win.
Okay.
Because that is a future or continued star
for sure,
whose brand the NBA probably needs a boost, and they're probably going to push Oklahoma City to trade him to LA at some point too. But he really does. His brand needs to be out there in front of everybody for more people to be like, he is that good.
From the 469, no, I just tuned in. Did AD get abducted? No, he had an abductor issue. He's fine. from the, and I get it, SGA is definitely more entertaining than Jokic. Here's the thing that I don't quite understand, and this is one of the things that we talked about with the Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson MVP race in the NFL. Follow the money. Because while everyone was like, I think Lamar's got it, I think Lamar's got it, when you looked at the betting odds and you're like, I don't think so. The money is behind Josh Allen. So the Ringer put out like their 10 NBA experts or 9 NBA experts. All of them except for one picked Jokic. So they're going Jokic. Yahoo has it as a dead even heat. But then you go to the betting odds and it's not particularly close at all. And Shea is by far the favorite, depending on where you go. Obviously, I'd always tell you bet MGM. But depending on where you go, the odds for Shea are minus 700 to minus 900. So he is a massive favorite for this. So are we going to follow NFL logic, Corey, and follow the money and say, hey, you might think it's close, but this is Shea's award to take?
A great man once told me to follow the money, and that was from The Wire. I don't know if there was anybody that ever said that before, but it definitely was the first time I'd heard it.
And there's nothing but good people on The Wire.
Exactly. So follow the money, dude.
Okay. Well, you know what? People who own the Celtics, they can build their money silo now. The Boston Celtics were sold for $6.1 billion. That is the highest price in North American sports history.
Wow.
I'm not saying it's ever going to happen. I know people would be really stoked if it did, but this just doubles down to my thought of, I don't care what the valuation says. If the Cowboys were sold, it would be for at least $15 million.
Maybe $100 billion.
I should have said billion. Like
that would be Jerry's asking price, right?
I could see that.
$100 billion, and somebody's like, what? And he's like, that's how much it means to me. Good luck.
Okay, so let's say Bezos or Musk or whoever came back and was like, all right, I got your $100 million.
$100 billion.
$100 billion. That's what I meant. I keep saying million. $100 billion. Do you think he would be able to do it?
I think he'd probably be like, I was just joking. Guys, what are we even talking about here? I don't think that Jerry really cares about that money that much. He wants the Cowboys brand. He loves working on it.
I think you're probably right.
Being involved with it, and that's the thing that is driving him. How do we get into a Jerry conversation in basketball talk? We got to go.
Because Jerry takes over everything. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets, where look out. The high leverage part of the Rangers bullpen is heating up. Next on The Fan.
3-2 pitch, swing and a miss. Jackson with the slide ball gets him. Back-to-back strikeouts for Luke, both coming on sliders. He's projecting a 4-0 lead. But
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We're only about 25 minutes away from the start of the NCAA tournament. But right now, it's time to go around. Nope, that's in an hour. It's time for Baseball Nuggets.
Kevin, before we go into baseball and all around Baseball Nuggets, Jim asked a good question, and he said, how do y'all know when you come? He's already asking the best questions here. How do y'all know when you come back? And we do have a clock that has specific times to leave and come back. 877-881-1053. Tell us what you think our clock is.
Oh, that is a great question. Now, answer for us and not the G-Bag Nation, because then you might have to shift the clock around just a little bit. They know.
You worked with Zach this week, didn't you?
I did.
Was he like, I'm not used to the clock?
Yeah, he was like, man, good for you guys. But then also, Alex there, and I feel like all people who are producing or running the board get annoyed and think that we're not listening.
Yep.
And he's like, come back in a minute. But then you'll get the 10 seconds. Because you're like in the middle of a conversation, like there's no way that Nimrod is listening to me and they're going to make a fool of me, but I'm listening. Like,
1 week away from Rangers opening day, Kevin.
That is right. I got a special segment for that a little bit later. Here, I want to focus on something really positive. What has been the number one thing that, Corey, you and I have been concerned about this Rangers team going into the regular season?
Closer.
Yep.
Health. That's number two.
That's fair. That is very fair. Jim, do you have a primary concern about the Texas Rangers heading into the season?
Who will be the closer?
There
you
go.
I'm with you guys.
He's part of the show. Look at that.
Well, I have good news for you.
You have a closer?
Kinda.
We signed him already, or is he already on the team?
No, he's already here.
Okay.
So it depends on how much stock you put in spring training. I know. Rougned Odor definitely would have made the Hall of Fame if it was just for spring training. But
dude could hit fastballs.
Consider this. The leverage trio of Robert Garcia, Luke Jackson, and Chris Martin. Now, I know it wouldn't always work this way, but hey, in your dream world, most of the time you get six innings from your starter, and then you'd go maybe Garcia, Jackson, Martin. They had three perfect innings against Seattle. What does that mean for all of spring training? They have allowed one run in 15 innings.
Really?
They have struck out 13 and allowed 9 base runners.
They are power arms. That is for sure.
So their ERA and their whip are identical at this point. 0.6. If you have a whip at one or below, that is bananas.
I do have a question. I know, again, Kevin, this is spring training baseball.
And that's
These high leverage innings that they are pitching in.
Yep.
I know the high leverage is considered based on the score at the time, right?
I think
not necessarily the dudes who are up at the plate, because by the sixth inning, usually those dudes are done. I'm kind of curious on that.
That is true. Usually seventh, eighth, ninth get labeled your high leverage. So I would say that, although I know it can change depending on who's up to the bat.
That all being said, though, I really do like the group they have that Bochy can choose from at the moment. And if they find, and you know how he is, if he finds one that's on fire, they'll rock with it. So I do like that group. I love Robert Garcia. I really do. I like him a lot. So I'm excited about him.
From the 619, I've not seen the spelling yet. Rangers can't do this without Josh Jung, and they spelled it Y-E-U-N-G.
So that's Yingling, the beer. That's how you spell that, I believe. Oh, so,
okay. Yeah. Interesting. And somebody said, stop it, Kevin. It's just Seattle. I hear you. But for the entirety of the spring, those three have given up 9 base runners and one run in 15 innings, and they have struck out 13. I think that is an incredibly encouraging start, because like you guys, I am also worried about the bullpen. Now, let's talk about Jacob deGrom. He did not think he pitched particularly well, so he gave up a couple of runs and a Jorge Polanco home run in 4 innings on Wednesday. And Jacob deGrom was asked, how do you think you did? And he said, fine. But it felt like that kind of fine that you're in a relationship and you're worried that your partner's mad at you. And you're like, are we okay? Fine.
He threw 13 strikes on 20 pitches, right? Isn't that what it was or something like that?
I think he threw more pitches than that, right?
I don't know. Maybe it was another day that I saw that.
Okay.
Well, he considers, and we're actually going to talk a little bit about this tomorrow in the C block, he does consider himself like everything needs to be great. And right now, he's still kind of waiting for that moment. I also think regular season is when that moment's going to arrive.
And he is very critical
of himself.
He said, just missing too much in the middle of the plate. We got away with it the first time through. After that, well, it's fine to go up. But to just sit there the whole time wasn't great. I was fighting my mechanics a little bit today, flying open, wouldn't get my landing down. And so he was like,
I wonder what caused all that.
Uber critical of the job that he did.
It could just be a one day thing and he just needs to tweak it and it gets back to what it is. And, you know, fortunately, you do have Mike Maddux there watching him and observing him, and you feel confident with that.
Now, the good news is, as well, he got through 4 innings and he still feels fine. That's the biggest thing. The more you can stretch him out. We've already talked about it for his first start of the season. Maybe it'll be like 4 innings. Like, maybe don't look for a regular start from DeGrom in his, whenever he does make his first regular season start. So just something to keep an eye out on there.
Keep him healthy for playoffs, baby.
You guys want, that would be awesome. You guys want good news or potentially bad news?
Jim, why would we want bad news?
We want good news.
Good news is a positive show. Right. It always has been.
Okay. In your face, Ezekiel Duran. All right. Let's talk about Corey Seager. And look, I'm not saying that people were worried about.
He's good at baseball.
I don't know if Corey Seager would be able to turn it around. Well, over the last week, he's 4-for-7 with 3 extra base hits and 1 strikeout to go along with 5 walks.
How many pitches has he seen? He said 4-for-7, so 7 pitches probably?
No, because he has 5 walks, you jerk.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That way he's seeing at least 20 extra pitches right there. So think about it. That means in 12 times up to the plate. He's reached base 9 times. Again.
And he's your two-hole hitter, dude.
It's just spring training. It's no, just, I mean.
Not with Corey Seager, dude.
It's Listen, just a week, but he looks amazing.
That is Corey Seager. Whatever the pitch is, he's so, his hands are fast.
They
he's got
are.
A lot of power. And once he sees the ball, once he picks up on it, he's swinging and he knows where he's going with it. Corey Seager is Corey Seager, no matter if it's spring training, regular season, or postseason. He's going to play the same game that he does.
From the 903, any discussion about moving Leiter into a closer role? We kind of talked about this with Teodo, and I eventually think maybe Alejandro Rosario, although I know he's hurt right now. The Rangers are going to err on the side of, if we think you can be a starter, you're going to start. So I could actually see Jack Leiter more likely being like middle relief or something like that,
yes,
to start the season if they are going to, you know, go with a lefty that they picked up yesterday to put in the rotation. But I don't think they would move it just quite yet.
One of the other things about that, and because he can pitch multiple innings too, like deep 4 innings or so. But the other thing too is Jack has not proven to us, because he has high heat. He has 97, yeah, 99. He can get there. But he has not proven to the Rangers that he can be an efficient pitcher.
Yes.
And that's something that when he learns how to be an efficient pitcher, if that's the case, they could move him there. But he walks a few too many and just misses his strike zone a little too much.
Now, I think I know the answer this is going to go. I'm going to give you one more crack at this, Jim. Do you still want more good news, or do you want to hear the bad news?
We'll hear the bad news.
Okay.
Jim, he knows how to do this.
Ezekiel Duran.
What's wrong?
Okay, so you know how, like, spring training...
It's just spring training.
It doesn't really matter for somebody like Corey Seager.
Right.
Right? Because, I mean, like, good for you. Corey I Seager's hope you're ready, Corey but Seager. You're going to make the team. You'll be just fine. Ezekiel Duran's a different deal, right?
He needs to look good.
He does.
Needs to impress.
And he has not.
Mm-mm.
So he went 0-for-2 yesterday, made the final out of the game with the tying run on board. You might be like, I don't care about that. I don't actually care if we win any of these games. Fair enough. He's 0-for-11 right now. He's in the midst of an 0-for-11 stretch. Earlier in spring training, he had an 0-for-12 stretch. So
0-for-23, it's, you know, over those two spans.
Yeah. And one of the things Bochy said, hey, I love the kid. I feel bad. He is really pressing up there, which obviously when you get into slump, it's probably impossible not to be like, I'm going to change everything with this at bat and this at bat and this at bat. But
everybody's trying to give you advice.
Yeah.
You're overthinking everything when you walk away. You're overworking at it. And sometimes you just need to get away from it and clear your mind so you can get back in there and do what you know you used to do really well.
He has a 161 batting average in spring training, and I know that we've moved to more analytical things, but trust me, none of the numbers across his slash line are looking good this spring. So it's been a tough go for him thus far in spring training.
And that, I mean, that just points out Josh Smith. You're going to continue to use him a little more. There are some other people that are, Ozuna's going to get more opportunities.
I was going to say, if you want to bounce back with some good news, because damn it, Reliant Air Conditioning, they sponsored this segment. They've been doing gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. They want good news. Everybody still loves Alejandro Ozuna, and I still don't think he's going to make the opening day roster, but we're going to present a segment to you later on,
okay,
that might clear the way for him to potentially make the opening day roster. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, I'm excited, March Madness prop bets for the tournament. And be honest, will you actually get any work done today? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.